insanely obsessed with Axl Rose, which, you know, the long hair.
Yeah.
That's weird.
So I don't know. But from what she's told me, she's been hit on by girls.
Like, okay, here's what I'm saying.
Welcome to the Optical Atlas Show. I'm Jeff Kuykendall, the editor of the Optical Atlas website. Today we're going to be talking to John Ferguson, one of the founding members of Lexington, Kentucky's Big Fresh. The band is celebrating its 10th anniversary with the release of BFF Big Fresh Forever, the band's second official full-length. It was released on January 24th on Garden Gate Records, a new label founded by members of Lexington's indie pop band Ideal Free Distribution. In addition to being one of the principal singer-songwriters of Big Fresh, John is also a member of Ulysses and recently became the Apples and Stereo's new keyboardist and backing vocalist, just in time for its recent tour in support of New Magnetic Wonder. Hi, John. Welcome to the Optical Atlas Show. When it comes to Big Fresh, who was there at the beginning back in 1998?
A man named Brian Gore and Ben Fulton, who is still a current member. It was a three-piece, and we called ourselves Meat Tape, M-E-A-T, Tape. And our idea was, I think bubble tape was really big at the time, you know, those, like, rolls of bubble gum, like a tape measure.
Right.
Where you could just pull off a strip. Well, we thought that we should invent this meat tape, where you could just pull out strips of meat. And so that became our band name, and then we realized it sounded kind of, offensive or ugly sounding. So we had a song floating around called Big Fresh that we were playing. We thought that was a decent sounding big time.
Yeah, Meat Tape is a very visceral name. So Brian, what was his name?
Brian Gore, who actually played on our current album, but he now lives in China. He teaches English in China.
Oh, okay.
So he was our drummer, and we replaced him about 5 years ago.
So you've got 5 different people in the band right now?
We do.
Is that right? Okay.
Now it's Ben Fulton, myself, Daniel Coy, Jeremy Midkiff, and Dave Ferris.
And you kind of trade vocals with Jeremy?
Jeremy and I are kind of the main singers. And Danny is, Jeremy and I are kind of the main songwriters.
What would be an example of one of your songs where you're singing on, so I can get an idea?
Oh, sure. I sing lead on, let's see, Large Crowds, Entertainment, Satan No. I kind of have the high-sounding tenor, Bill Doss kind of voice.
Okay, yeah, I really like Large Crowds. Let's play that. Is there anything you want to say about that particular song? Did you write that one?
I did, and I was writing it about having panic attacks. I wasn't really having panic attacks at the time, but I thought there should be a song about having them. Certainly I've dealt with panic and fear, and I kind of do have a fear of being around large groups of people, so...
Yeah, I want to feel like I'm in control is the
right
refrain in that one.
So the verses are kind of this, from the perspective of someone who's really freaking out being around a lot of people, and then the chorus is kind of his mantra, what he sings to himself to get some sort of peace. But it's kind of a psychedelic song. We were trying to sound, I don't know, a little bit like XTC, early XTC, English Settlement era kind of sound.
Thank you.
So this is the kind of second legitimate release from Big Crash.
Yeah, the first time around, we tried to do everything ourselves. We started our own little label, and I did all the mailings, tried to get it in college radio stations, and it was called Aqua Pop Records. And it was moderately successful for a four-track venture. You know, we had some write-ups in some bigger magazines and took out ads in Magnet and stuff like that.
Okay, that would explain why I couldn't find the Aqua Pop Records website when I was doing a Google search. There was one, but it looked like it wasn't there anymore.
It is no longer. We shut it down. It was a lot of work. A lot more work than that really... I wasn't really enjoying that side of it. I really liked playing music and writing music and recording music. But even on a small level of what we were, it was a lot of work to do all the mailings and press release and all that kind of thing. So I kind of told myself at the time I was going to, if we were ever going to do this again, I wanted someone else to take over that part. So this time around, we were lucky enough to have Garden Gate Records pick it up.
Did you have a lot of self-released recordings on there? It looked like on you have a Wikipedia page out there, and it had some self-released things that said Big Fresh Records.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it was very homegrown stuff. You know, making cassette copies for friends and just passing them around that way. So nothing was actually legitimately released into stores.
Mm-hmm.
But, we're small fries, small time.
So you're in Lexington, Kentucky now.
Yes, sir.
And you said where originally did the band originate from?
Owensboro, Kentucky.
Okay.
Just a couple hundred miles away. We all went to college here at the University of Kentucky and kind of... That's where we really started playing out and playing gigs at bars and getting the word out about our band. And we kind of developed a little fan base here in Lexington and decided it was, you know, kind of a cool art scene going on here, so we should just live here, and so we have.
Yeah, I've heard lots of great things about Lexington, but I don't think I've been there yet in my life.
Yeah, it's a great town. For a town this size, it has a whole lot going on artistically that, you know, other towns this size don't have the luxury of having. So it feels like a small town. You see the same faces every day, but it's a big enough town that there's always something to do every night.
So is this album, how would you differentiate BFF from the previous albums? Do you think there's like this really direct evolution from there, or do you think it's pretty much in line with everything else?
In terms of our interests and the types of music that we like, I would say that it's in the same line of what we've always done. We're fairly eclectic. We like all types of music and try to put all things into what we do. Obviously, there's a huge pop sound to what we do, but there's also a huge kind of bizarre avant sound.
Yeah, it's a very kind of outer spacey album. I don't know how to describe it, but it almost seems like there's kind of like a prog rock influence in there, but then there's also, I don't know, what, like the WTO song almost sounds like Devo or something.
Sure.
And then like the, what is it, I think it's Joy Bomb number 2, which almost sounds like a parody of a Brian Wilson song or something.
Yeah, absolutely. Brian's a huge influence that's hard to shake. You know, I'm a Beach Boys fanatic, and but also I enjoy prog rock and new wave, and I mean, literally huge influence when I was growing up.
Yeah, and I can hear a little bit of that, too. But it all flows together really well. Which,
well, thank you.
Which is, I mean, it's a really easy album to listen to. You can just sit down and... It's a short album, but it flows together, like, beautifully when you're listening to it.
Thank you.
So you can just,
we
like,
try to
repeat.
Work together on purpose. We have a lot more recordings than, obviously, what made it on the album, but we felt like 30 minutes is not really a lot to ask of somebody to listen to.
Yeah.
And kind of a lot of our favorite records from the 60s are 30-minute records. I think
right.
Something in the 70s happened where people decided it was okay to make hour and 10-minute records, and that's not always the best thing to do. Just because you have the time to fill doesn't mean you should fill it.
So do you consider yourself like more of a recording project or a live band, or do you try to balance both?
We balance both. When we play live, it's high energy, but it's not as produced. We only have 4 or 5 people playing live when we play. The album's obviously pretty keyboard heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And when we play live, we're just stripped down to 1 keyboard player, 1 guitar player, bass and drums. So we try to keep the music high energy and exciting. Definitely a lot more minimalist than the albums.
Yeah, it's like headphones music that you can dance to is kind of what the album sounds like.
Yeah.
If you need a tagline, there you go.
Thank you.
We
keep the dance element going live, but the headphone part of it is kind of the lacking part. I do most of the background vocals on the album, all the Beach Boys-y kind of sounding stuff, and just that's me over and over and over again. And so obviously live, I can't do that. One thing I wish that we could do.
What do you play?
When I play live, I play guitar and sing. Or a few songs I'll swap off and play bass or keys. All of us can kind of play a little bit of everything. So don't have a problem switching off instruments, but typically I'm the guitar player.
So I was thinking of playing Losing Friends to War.
Okay.
Is that one of yours?
That is one of Jeremy's. All the songs, all of us contribute to ideas of arrangement and ideas for lyrics and ideas of just overall production and feel. But, you know, either Jeremy or myself or Danny will bring kind of the skeleton of a song to the table, and we'll all kind of pitch in ideas on it. Losing Friends might be my favorite track on the record. It's lyrically very poignant for our times. And
yeah, it's a different approach to the subject of, you know, it's not like a typical war protest song.
Right.
Really. It's more more about the idea of people going and then coming back injured and, you know, the idea of being paralyzed but with fear that some, you know, of going there. And
yeah, it's kind of we're admitting that we wish someone else could pick up this problem and fix it because we sure can't. It's too big for us, and, you know, just the thought of it, the idea of people dying, our friends dying in a war that is obviously unjust and terrible, paralyzes us from any ability to do anything about it.
Extra, read all about it. I heard the newsboys say we're going to war today. Call up the guards, we need some reserves to give a little more blood. We need to take some more blood. Brave who died, what got him richified? Who lead the march?
How did you end up meeting Robert Schneider and getting involved with Ulysses?
He moved to Lexington in 2002, I think. His wife at the time, Hillary's family, lived here, and I think they wanted to be closer to the grandparents because Max was about 2 years old, their son Max. And when he came to town, I was emceeing a show at the College Station that he came to, and I'm a big XTC fanatic. And at the time, I'd read that he was working with Andy Partridge on some collaborations, like they were co-writing songs together. So I just approached him and talked to him, and we hit it off, and shared fairly identical taste in music and passion for the Beach Boys and the Beatles and all things psychedelic rock. And we started playing together, and I think originally I was going to play something else in Ulysses, maybe guitar or keyboards. So he came over one day just to like run through songs. He'd had this idea for Ulysses and he wanted me to lay down just a basic beat. And I'm not much of a drummer, but I was just laying down something so we could four tracking. And he was like, "Oh, that's perfect. You're the new drummer of Ulysses."
Did he really make it explicit to you that he didn't want it to sound like Apples in Stereo, that he wanted it to be kind of rougher? Because it seems to me like it has a more raw sound.
Explicit. The songs, you know, he played them for me, and they are very, you know, obviously, if you've heard that record, it's very stripped down.
Yeah.
Not many overdubs, just...
Mono.
Mono, his basic guitar track, a basic vocal line, occasional harmony here and there, but I knew just immediately from hearing the songs that it was something different than the Apples. Kind of a more melancholy thing. There were a lot of transitions going on in his life at the time, and it seemed like appropriate music, kind of heartbreak music.
Yeah. Do you think there's going to be more Ulysses in the future?
We've talked about it. We recorded the last album. There was probably a whole batch of other songs that didn't make it on the album that we always said, if we make another one, we've got the songs ready. We just, you know, last year we went, I'm part of the Apples in Stereo now, and so... We were extremely busy last year on tour, pretty much for the entire year. So that project on the back burner right now.
So what's your favorite outfit that you wear when you tour at the Apples in Stereo?
I guess if you're referring to the space outfit,
yeah,
that's the one I typically always wear. I made that specifically for our TV appearance. Thought I would spice up our look a little bit and.
I thought you wore that in Madison, too, but I can't remember.
I did, yeah. I pretty much wear it every night. Yeah, it gets pretty smelly by the end of tour. Yeah, I kind of always liked the look of Evel Knievel and, or, like, Parliament.
Yeah.
And I was trying to go for, like, a 70s kind of
Yeah, it is kind of like an Evel Knievel funkadelic kind of look. Did Robert Schneider have any input on this? I mean, on this new album, I know he mastered it, but is that pretty much just what he was limited to?
I've been playing these demos for him, or recordings over the years. I hate to say it, but we've worked on this album for like 6 years, unfortunately. Not because we've actually worked that long, but because it's taken us that long to put it all together.
Okay.
We all have jobs, and I have a family, and, you know, other things happen to kind of put this off, and so, but along the way, I've been playing Robert these songs, and he always was very enthusiastic, and giving me pointers here and there of what he likes and what he doesn't like. So, I asked him to master it last fall, and he was very willing to, and he did an excellent job doing that. A lot of people don't know what mastering actually entails. But it's really the varnish or the polish of the whole product, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a talent to itself. It takes a really good set of listening ears and knowledge of the frequency spectrum to find kind of the overall sound. And he's very excellent at it.
It seems like you work a lot with R. Stevie Moore, or have in the past.
Sure, do you know R. Stevie Moore?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
So, for those who are listening to this, he's kind of a kind of an independent music legend.
He is.
Lots of, you know,
the songs. Godfather of home recording. I think that's his self-given moniker. But he and my dad were best friends growing up. They both grew up in Nashville, Tennessee, and they were in bands together through the 70s. And when I was a baby, he lived in our house for a little while. And so he's always been kind of like my crazy, bizarre uncle. And he and my dad are still great friends, and now I'm growing up and good friends with him. I'm even on some of his earlier albums. We've written songs together and recorded together and stuff like that.
You were on an album of R. Stevie Moore's when you were 3? Is that true?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's still prolific. He puts out, I think he's up to like 500 albums he's put together now in his lifetime.
So you're saying it's hard not to be on one of his albums.
Exactly. But if you're close to him in any way, you're going to get recorded and somehow featured on one of his albums.
But you put out a record done with him then?
No, I've never put anything out. I've him songs that he's put featured on his albums.
Okay.
And he and I collaborated on some recordings, and he and I are still in contact. I just sent him this new big fresh album, and he's in love with it. And he sent us a little quote that we're going to use in our press release for it.
Is he going to do a cover of it and put out a YouTube video or anything?
Oh, I hope so. That'd be awesome. I guess you're referring to his cover of Robert Steven.
Yeah. Do you know where that came from? Why he ended up doing Steven?
He, you know, it's his name, R. Stevie Moore, Steven.
Right.
So he's kind of a strange artist, and did his own bizarre interpretation of it. I think it's pretty awesome. Yeah, he's a huge Apple fan, too. He loves Robert's work.
Were you a big Apples fan prior to meeting Robert, then?
No. Not because I didn't like it, but because I just wasn't exposed to it. Somehow I'd missed the whole E6 boat. In the 90s, I was really into pop music, but I guess I was into West Coast stuff. I was really into, like, Jellyfish and Jason Faulkner and Elliott Smith, Eric Matthews, and that, kind of that whole sound.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, in my own little world, I'd missed out on the Elephant Six stuff, which would include Neutral Milk and Olivia Tremor Control. I didn't really start listening to that stuff till I met Robert, and it's kind of opened up a whole new world of music to me.
Cool. So is there another song from the album that you want to play, that you want to pick?
I think WTO is a pretty cool song.
Okay, we'll go ahead and play that. Now, what's interesting about this is that it's a like ostensibly a political song just because it's about WTO, but
right.
It's really more of just, you know, playing with the music and the style, it seems to me. I don't know. I don't know how you feel about it.
Sure. Yeah. Well, we're not kind of overtly political, or we try not to be. This song, obviously, it's titled WTO, and the lyrics are somewhat about the World Trade Organization's exploitation of third world countries, but we don't actually come out and say anything that's...
It's not preachy or anything.
It's not preachy or obvious. It's fairly subtle and tongue-in-cheeky. We were kind of musically, there's a horn section where it's like a big rumble. We were trying to kind of musically sound like this cavalry of Western imperialism invading a country. That was kind of the image we were trying to go for during the middle part with the horns and whatnot.
And then there's like the tinkling of coins at the end.
Right, which is kind of just trying to sound like money. Yeah, absolutely.
That wraps it up for this episode of the Optical Atlas Show. You can order the new Big Fresh album at GardenGateRecords.com and check out more of Big Fresh's music at their MySpace site, myspace.com/BigFresh. I'd like to thank the Apples in Stereo for providing our theme song and to John for putting up with my stupid questions. As always, keep in touch with me at OpticalAtlas.com. You can email me feedback at info@OpticalAtlas.com.